This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
A communist street animal got killed today. We're going to discuss that. We have so much to talk about, from foreign policy, Katie Zacharias here, all that and so much more coming up on I'm Ryan. All right, we're going to discuss the criminal enterprise that is the Democrat Party. And in fact, something happened today, something terrible, if we're being honest, something terrible happened today that's going to bring that to the forefront. Now, I'm about to show you a video of it. What is the it? You know that ICE has been surging into Minnesota right now, Minneapolis, other parts of Minnesota. Why? Well, the Somali fraud ring has been exposed. Minnesota is one of these sanctuary communist-run states where foreign barbarians go there and pillage the American taxpayer. The Trump administration has promised and has delivered. Let's be honest, they've been wonderful about this. They have promised they are going to go into these sanctuary places and they are going to grab people who should not be in this country. They're going to arrest them and they're going to send them away, as every country should. It's bonkers that this is even a right versus left thing, but nevertheless, that's where we are. And they are surging into there. Now, I want to explain something before I play you this video, something we've talked about many times before, but something you have to understand completely. The Democrat Party in this country ceases to exist as a viable political party without taxpayer money. They find a way to swindle it without the mass importation of foreign barbarians and without election fraud. Without those three things, the Democrat Party becomes not a 50% party, a 20% party, 25%. The party has to go away. So when you understand that, you understand why they fight so hard to keep foreign barbarians here. It can be confusing for normal people. Hey, they're just arresting murderers and rapists and thieves. I don't understand. Why would they organize these protests and these riots? No, you don't understand. Their entire existence disappears without the mass importation of foreign barbarians who will be given taxpayer money in various ways and then will vote for Democrats in various ways. So ICE surges into Minneapolis, surges into Minnesota. They start scarfing up foreigners. What happens? Here's what happens. Elite communists, those are the politicians, the billionaires, the people who are truly the puppet masters behind this, holding the strings of the Democrat Party. They want this to stop. They want to cause disruptions. They want to cause all kinds of disorder out there. But they're, of course, not going to get their manicured fingers dirty. That's the elite communists. The street communists, it's their job to get their fingers dirty. Street communists are generally the true believers, almost always broken, miserable, pill-addicted criminals. They scarf up the bottom of the barrel in society, the elite communists do. They give them training, they give them equipment, they break their minds with relentless propaganda, and then they send them out like an army to fight for the revolution. Now, the bad part is, and it happened today in Minnesota, fighting a war, fighting a revolution can be hazardous to your health. That woman died. She's dead now. And I don't know all the details. Look, we can all guess right now. We can all guess what we're going to find on her social media accounts. It's all coming out now already. But we don't have to get into all that. We can all guess what we're going to see, what we're going to find. A broken person, mentally, just shattered. Who knows what else is behind there? Somebody who's been manipulated by the elite communists to believe all sorts of things that aren't true. I'm sure she felt that she was fighting Nazis and Hitler. Why would she feel that way? Well, probably because she was stupid, drug addicted, spends too much time on here, watching CNN. Oh my gosh, Trump's Hitler, I have to do something! And once they finally break her mind to the point where they send her out like the tip of the spear for the revolution, she goes out, tries to run over a federal officer. That's gonna get you killed about 99% of the time. Now she's gone. And before we go on to the rest of the Democrat criminal enterprise, you communist street animals who watch the show and send in death threats, I'm coming for you and all that other stuff you say, that's whatever, that's fine. But you should understand that they don't care about you. That woman who was just sent out to die today, she died. That revolutionary, you know they'll send you tomorrow. And then your daughter the next day. And your son the next day after that. And the people who are breaking your mind and your soul as you consume it on social media and you read the New York Times, and none of those people will lose a minute of sleep when you die for their cause. I hope you know that. Now, back to the Democrat Party. As I said, they exist on election fraud, the mass importation of foreigners, and taxpayer money. Do you remember the Biden administration? In fact, this is a common Democrat thing. We don't just have to make it about the Biden administration. Talking so much about green energy.
Russia's war only enhances the urgency of the need to transition the world off its dependence on fossil fuels.
So America is at the start of an historic transition.
But we are accelerating this transition to a clean energy future.
This is not a transition to be feared. It's a transformation to be seized.
We're in a transition, and transitions are complicated.
They can go electric, they can do heat pumps. This is how you transition.
Transition, okay. Well, are those people, all those elite communists you just saw, are they actually concerned about man-made climate change? Well, this is where we all jump in and we say, of course not, they fly private jets. They're driving in motorcades with 15 cars and private jets, and they all have 10 mansions. They're not actually worried. Well, of course they're not actually worried. Of course they don't actually believe in it. But you know what they do know? Selling it as a green transition allows them to do something. Here's what it allows them to do. It allows them to open up the gigantic bank vault that is the Treasury of the United States of America, and they can walk into it and grab huge quantities of your money and hand it out to all of their friends and allies. All those big solar panel companies that stroke huge checks to Democrats, well, those checks come back. You see, it's a big revolving circle. Well, you're not involved in it, of course. You don't get anything. All you get is pillaged. But you see, they have to have taxpayer money or the Democrat Party goes away. Do you remember USAID or USAID, depending on how you put it? We found out, a lot of people didn't know this, some did. We found out that there's this organization, it's been around for years, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things all over the globe. It's an American organization, and they get millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they spend it on things like cutting off a turtle's penis and making sure he's gay. Just wild, weird, creepy stuff. And Elon Musk got involved in the Trump administration right away, started doing things like looking into USAID, and we started cutting this organization off. Hey, no more, no more, no more of this. Do you remember the Democrat response? Remember what Chuck Schumer said?
We cannot allow Elon Musk and a small group of people to secretly, behind closed doors, take away our privacy, take away our dollars, take away everything we have. We are going to fight this fight. I am going to stand with you in this fight, and we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest.
They're just such ridiculous clowns. Anyway, why did they raise such a stink? Well, again, that's your money. They find a way, they find a reason to take it away from that bank vault and spend it on their friends. The Democrat Party has to have your money to continue to exist. We won't even go into voter fraud. Did you hear this story? The TSA flagged nearly $700 million in cash leaving Minneapolis Airport in the last 2 years alone. $700 million in cash. If I were to lay that out for you, not that I have access to it, on a table, it would be a lot. It would be a lot to look at. What is that money going to? Well, it's probably going to Somalia. Why is it going to Somalia? Because Democrats, with the aid of Republicans, massively imported people from the most corrupt society on the planet, Somalia. They brought them all to Minnesota, and the deal is quite simple, you see. Democrats in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, they will help the Somali population steal from you. That's what they'll do. They'll help them steal from you. They'll get them all signed up for government benefits. They'll get them set up with all these fraud networks. And all they ask in return is that the Somali community vote as one big block for Democrats every single time, and they do. I will reiterate what I said in the beginning. We're going to move on. We have Joy Pullman and so much more coming. The Democrat Party in the United States of America ceases to exist entirely without taxpayer money, the mass importation of foreigners, and voter fraud. The party goes away. And you may not know that, but they know that. That's why they react the way they do whenever ICE walks into Minneapolis and tries to steal some foreigners. They know at their core, this is my everything. It's worth dying over. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We'll talk to Joy Pullman in a moment. Let me talk to you about the water supply. It's a weird thing to talk about, isn't it? Water supply? Who cares about the water supply? I turn on the faucet and water comes out. Yeah, there's estrogen in it. This is one of these things that it's awful. It's just the way it is. There's so much birth control out there, women's birth control, that it's not getting treated out of the ground, out of the water. It's all throughout our water supply. It's one of the main things they trace back to the drop in testosterone. Men's testosterone is going away in the United States of America. It's in free fall. That's why there's a low T clinic on every corner in your town now. Men know it. Men are tired, bad moods. What do? You handle it naturally. You don't walk into the clinic. You take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day. Have your T levels through the roof. Have your mood good, your energy up. Go try it. Just give me 90 days. Get a subscription for 90 days. If it doesn't work, cancel it. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The American dream has represented a compact that those who work hard and play by the rules should be able to build better lives for themselves and for their children. In this time, and even more into the future, childcare that is too expensive, unsafe, or unavailable will be a very stubborn obstacle to realizing that dream. So let us commit ourselves to clearing the obstacle.
We've got to get the costs of quality childcare down, and that requires more subsidies from the government.
So it's time we stop treating childcare as a side issue or as a women's issue and treat it like the national economic priority that it is for all of us.
Ask yourself, why are we giving, still giving hedge fund billionaires tax breaks, but we can't find any real money to give tax breaks for childcare? Why do you think?
Well, that's sweet, isn't it? I'm not a big fan of any of those people, but they just want the kids to be taken care of. I think it's adorable. Joining me now, Joy Pullman, executive editor of the wonderful Federalist. Joy, I don't know about you, that touches my heart to look back and see how much they just care about the kids.
Yeah, I actually think those are some terrifying clips because as a mother, you know, the heart of any kind of child care program is the separation of a mother from a baby. And for babies, that is terrifying. And for mothers, it induces a lot of grief. I've spoken to many women who talk about, you know, sobbing and sobbing, dropping their children off at childcare because they know, and women instinctively know, and that's why polls show that women really strongly prefer, you know, working part-time as well as having family-based childcare, because we instinctively know that putting children in non-parent care really can damage the parent-child bond, which is why daycare is really a giant scam. The taxpayers spend billions of dollars per year on separating children from their mothers, and we actually get worse outcomes from that than if we had made some other choices to try to protect that mother-child bond. The research that has been blocked shows that daycare actually leads in many other programs that across the world to higher crime rates, to worse academic outcomes, and to increasing numbers of kind of attachment behavioral disorders that include violence and anxiety. So it's not just Somali daycares, you know, perpetrating a scam. It's actually probably better for the kids that those Somali daycares don't have any children inside them, because that way, you know, children aren't damaged by being separated from their mothers inside those environments.
Joy, you have a great piece out in The Federalist arguing that the vast majority of daycares are scams. Now, that's quite a thing. Tell us about it.
Well, I think if you think about the word scam, you know, you kind of think, I think the kind of fundamental definition would include basically getting something the opposite of what you paid for, right? So if I paid somebody for security in my home and I had more break-ins and more, you know, violence perpetrated against my family, that would be a pretty scammy, you know, kind of a protection racket, right? And so the same thing is true about daycare. You know, Americans have really been propagandized by a very compliant media, which, by the way, is made up of people, you know, who kind of themselves are have to rely on childcare for their careers. So they have kind of a vested psychological interest there. We've been told by the media that, you know, oh, and as concluding, you know, those Democrat politicians, you know, that you are, you know, quoted at the beginning of this segment, showed them talking about child separation from their mothers as being a good thing. You know, so we've been propagandized by this, and we're told we're going to get actually an increased tax base out of this, right? Because you got to get those women out of the house. You know, what are they even doing in the house? What are they providing society? They're not paying taxes when they're contributing their labor to the upbringing of children. So the idea behind it is, you know, we're told we'll get good things out of this, but what we really get is family dissolution. What we really get is, you know, more children who have attachment behavioral issues. And if you talk to anybody involved in, you know, think about, we are seeing a lot of headlines about the growing mental health crisis among children. Well, a large part of that can be attributed to the fact that those children have been denied the security of a bond with their mother by being separated from infancy from their mother. So we're being told, you know, that we're getting one thing, we're getting a bigger tax base, we're getting kids who are smarter, and really we're getting the opposite. And that's why the vast majority of daycare is a fraud. It's because, you know, we are getting out of it worse society, worse childcare, worse outcomes for the children and the rest of us for paying $240 billion a year, over since 1965 on Head Start. That's $9 billion a year just on that one federal program to damage children and families.
Hey, let's talk a little abortion. It's back in the news because Donald Trump came out yesterday and said this about the Hyde Amendment.
Let the money go in the healthcare account or however you do it. Let the money go directly to the people. Now, you have to be a little flexible on Hyde. You know that. You got to be a little flexible. You got to work something. You got to use ingenuity. You got to work. We're all big fans of everything, but you got to be flexible. You have to have flexibility.
Okay, Joy, first of all, give us the 101 on the Hyde Amendment, and two, tell me what I need to be flexible about.
Well, the Hyde Amendment is simply a longstanding provision that's attached to a lot of U.S. funding bills that prohibits federal tax dollars from funding abortions. This measure has been extremely popular, and it continues to be popular among Americans, you know, since the Reagan era all the way through today, because Americans really understand that abortion, even if you kind of believe in some squishy middle about it, they understand that it's a serious and not a positive thing. and they really do not want taxpayer dollars going towards it. So this has been a longtime consensus agreed to, including by Democrats over the decades, to not have my money forcibly taken from me and funding things that I find completely abhorrent, immoral, and destroying the United States' moral credibility, which would be the mass destruction of human life. So the Hyde Amendment, again, it has very bipartisan over the years, supported by, you know, vast majorities of Americans. And it's actually kind of a real baseline that we should be able to expect out of Republican Congress and president, because you have to understand that the wholesale destruction of human life in the United States drives a lot of other crises that we have. So, for example, if we had much lower abortion rates, we would not have the kind of demand to pull in foreign workers to fill the jobs that we have. We would have no population problems if abortion were eliminated in the United States. And the same is actually true of in vitro fertilization, which, by the way, destroys more human embryos than abortion does every single year. So the United States has a mass murder problem on its hands. And one of the least things that we could do, you know, would be to curtail abortion across the country. One of the least baseline bottom things that we could do as a country is to not force taxpayers to fund the either ripping up of a human child inside its mother's womb or the chemical evacuation, a forced miscarriage where women have to watch their children being flushed down the toilet.
Joy, appreciate you and your fight very much. Love the Federalists. Love you guys. Take care. All right. We're going to talk about what's all this changes in the child vaccine schedule. I know my wife came home. She was talking about it. What's that about? Talk to Liz about that in a moment. Before we talk to Liz, let me talk to you about your cell phone. We are finally aware on the right that much of corporate America hates our guts. And it's worse than just a silent, simmering hatred. They take our money and they use it against us, against our culture, against our country, against our belief systems. AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, these companies hate you. They sponsor with your money more communist filth than you can imagine. And you don't need them. Pure Talk is here. Pure Talk's on the same network. I'm not asking you to sacrifice coverage. Pure Talk will charge you way less. Pure Talk hires Americans. And the CEO of Pure Talk is a two-tour Vietnam veteran with MACV SOG. They hire Americans. They love America. They take care of veterans because that's their value system, your value system, and mine. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, so I get home last night and my wife is making some veggie chili or something gross, and she's all excited about RFK making announcements about vaccines and food pyramids, and she might as well have been speaking Chinese. I didn't even know what she was talking about, but I acted excited too, so I figured today I might as well talk to Liz and bone up on the issues a little bit so I'll be better prepared tonight. Joining me now, my friend Liz Wheeler of the wonderful Liz Wheeler Show. All right, Liz, let's focus, I guess, first on the food pyramid thing. I vaguely remember that from when I was a kid. There were the breads and the meats. What happened?
Well, what's going to happen is pretty monumental, Jesse. You are now going to be forced every day to eat vegetables. That's what's going to happen. Oh. For breakfast, you get broccoli. Oh. For lunch, you get kale. For dinner, you get soup made of sweet potatoes only. We are going to see this radical change in the health of Jesse Kelly thanks to this beautiful new food pyramid that we see in front of us. And it's going to have even more far-reaching effects. It's not just you. It's all the kids out there who are going to be impacted by this. First of all, I think this is a very pretty food pyramid. I like that it's an inverted triangle, an inverted pyramid. It's kind of clever. I like that. It looks pretty. It's got meats and whole foods. It's real food, Jesse. It's vegetables. It's fruit. It's, you know, some dairy. I don't eat dairy, but that's all right. This is better than the old processed food one. It's great. It's not just something that they're putting online. It's going to impact school lunches. You know, all the school lunches that we pay for across the country, they create those lunches by using the food pyramid. They say, what should we serve our kids to eat? And they feed them processed sugary crap all the time. Well, now they're going to feed them whole foods and it's going to make a big difference. All joking aside, we have a chronic disease crisis, especially among our children in this country. And it's not something that, you know, is just inevitable. It's something that's a result of political decisions. Big pharma and big food combined are poisoning our children. And this is a big change, the food pyramid. It's actually going to help reorient food that children eat and make that food real food. You pair that with some of the changes that we've seen. The most significant revolutionary thing, I argue, that President Trump has done yet, changing that vaccine schedule. And we are going to start seeing real generational changes in the health of our kids.
That's wonderful. Okay, let's move on to this vaccine schedule. What was
you just
it?
Don't
what
talk
is
about
it now?
Vegetables.
No, I don't, Liz, because I'm going to feel judgment. I know I'm going to feel judgment. I just want to eat my Totino's pizza in peace, but I'm happy the kids are going to be healthier. All that stuff is fine. The vaccine
I'm
schedule.
I'm going to text your wife my good recipe of kale soup. I'm going to text it to her right after the show. That's what you're going to have for dinner.
Oh, I refuse, Liz. All right. Vaccine schedule. What is it? Are we happy? Are you mad?
Oh, I think this is. I made this argument on my show today, and I do not say this lightly. I think this is the most significant thing, the most epic thing that President Trump has done yet. And he's done some pretty epic things. But this is going to have generational ramifications. He changed the recommended childhood immunization schedule, which contained 88 doses of 17 vaccines. This is for babies, toddlers, kids, adolescents. And on December 5th, a month ago, he had issued an executive order ordering HHS to realign the U.S. vaccine schedule for kids to match other developed nations that have fewer vaccines but better health outcomes for children, like Denmark and like Japan. And, you know, it only took a month for HHS or for the CDC to change the recommended childhood vaccines. They reduced it from 88 doses to 55 doses, reducing the vaccines themselves from 17 to 11, because, as you know, a vaccine itself usually has several different doses. They almost slashed it in half. They removed rotavirus and Hep A and Hep B and COVID and meningitis and the flu vaccine for kids. And they moved it out of the recommended category into a category that's called shared clinical decision making, which is not only significant for kids. Families aren't going to be coerced the same way into getting vaccines for their kids that they don't want, that they've seen harm their kids. We're also going to see something, Jesse, that we've been waiting for since before I was born. Back in 1986, Ronald Reagan signed into law a piece of legislation that shielded vaccine manufacturers from liability. So they bring their vaccine, their product to the market, it hurts somebody. Well, thanks to Ronald Reagan and the United States Congress in 1986, that big pharma company could no longer be sued. Their incentive to produce safe products was completely eliminated. The federal government pays out certain families who have suffered vaccine injuries, but without any concession of guilt. And so vaccine manufacturers obviously have lobbied over the years to get their vaccines in huge numbers on this recommended schedule, because it has to be on the recommended schedule to enjoy that shield of liability. But by moving these six vaccines off of the recommended schedule and over to the shared clinical decision-making category, we're not just going to be protecting kids from getting those vaccines if their parents don't want it. We're also going to see this radical change in how vaccine manufacturers are forced to evaluate the safety of their products before they bring them to market. Because those vaccines now, even if you or your doctor chooses to give those to your kids, if your kid gets hurt, you can now sue.
Liz, how are the pediatricians taking this? I remember our past 10 years, we have gone through more pediatricians than I can count, because they're all a bunch of following losers. How's this landing over there?
Yeah. Well, look on X. The emotional breakdowns of the day are all coming from pediatricians. They're kind of the lowest hanging fruit on X, if you ask me. And listen, I don't want to be uncharitable to pediatricians. I'm sure there are pediatricians out there who are not corrupted by big pharma, who follow the science, who really care most about children and not their bottom dollar. And I'm excited to meet one of those someday, just like I'm excited to see an albino rhino. I've heard they exist also. But they, of course, are freaking out because they don't realize that they were completely brainwashed in medical school. They were told only that they must vaccinate kids or else kids will die. And they were told studies back this up, but they were never actually given the studies to look at. They never analyzed that. They were just told what to repeat. And then their practices are, of course, structured so that if they don't enforce the vaccine schedule per the CDC, then they don't get paid as much by insurance companies. So pediatricians are, of course, freaking out. But, you know, a day when a pediatrician's freaking out is probably a good day for the American kids.
Probably. I've actually seen an albino rhino. His name is James Lankford from Oklahoma. Liz, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
So mean. Enjoy your kale soup, Jesse. Thank you.
I'm going to enjoy Massa Chips. That's what I'm going to enjoy. And you know what? Even Liz would approve of Massa Chips. Why? They're chips. Surely they're terrible for you. Not Massa Chips. Massa Chips are simple, you see. No, none of this seed oil filth. You look at the ingredients and you don't see a bunch of stuff that's going to make your face melt off. Just good, natural stuff. But of course, as soon as you say it's not bad for you, you probably think the same thing I thought. The same thing I thought when someone told me about Massa Chips. I thought, okay, so they're gross. They're so crunchy. They're so good. They have even dessert ones. Churro. It's like cinnamon sugar. They have habanero. That's my favorite. Lime. Very, very good, especially with some dip. Go find out. Get yourself a few bags of Massa Chips and eat them without guilt. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, so we're about to take something that's extremely sad and make it political for a second, and I feel gross doing that. First of all, prayers for Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He died unexpectedly this week, and it's extremely sad. Prayers for his family. We also have Congressman Jim Baird, got in a really bad car wreck. Now, obviously, beyond the prayers for the families of these two gentlemen, we do have to discuss something that's uncomfortable. And obviously, their lives are more important than what we're about to discuss, but we have a GOP majority that is thin. We're talking supermodel in the 80s thin. That's a problem. Joining me now, Katie Zachariah, legal and political strategist. All right, Katie, obviously we don't want to make untimely deaths and car accidents political things, of course, but it is getting slimmer there in the House, and that's not good.
It's something that President Trump absolutely crushed yesterday in his speech. He said, if we lose the 26 midterms, I will be impeached, or they will at least do everything they can to attempt an impeachment, a full impeachment. And the passing of LaMalfa out here in California is tragic. He's been a very faithful Republican, one of the few we've had out of California, truly. But his district, California 1, was already in cahoots with Prop 50. So because this was ahead of the filing deadline in California, there will have to be a special election before the Prop 50 map is instituted. And so this is Gallagher's district. This is another longtime Republican. It's a safe Republican seat right now. So in a special election, it'll likely get picked up by a Republican, but only temporarily. As long as Prop 50 goes through, this will then be a very solid blue district out here in California, which will then give the Democrats yet another seat in our razor-thin majority, and we'll start taking away from that majority.
Katie, can you give those of us who aren't California people a heads up on this Prop 50? I know it's something we've discussed before, but is this kind of a done deal? It's going to go through, we're basically screwed and lose a bunch of seats, or is it still a coin flip thing?
Well, if we look at, so I'm going to go back to Texas for a second, because this was all Gavin Newsom reacting to what happened in Texas and the redrawing of the maps. However, Texas redrew those maps because the Biden DOJ sued them on their census. So they actually had to redraw these maps. And the Supreme Court sided with Texas, and they're able to use those new maps in the 26 midterm elections. And there is now a lawsuit on Prop 50 through the DOJ because of racial gerrymandering, and that's a delineation and a difference from the Texas map. So what happened with Prop 50 is Gavin Newsom essentially said, we're going to retaliate Texas redraw, banking on the uninformed electorate here in California, because they didn't know or weren't aware or didn't do the research that map redraw had to be done based on the DOJ suing, as I said earlier. And the Californians just went in, voted in Prop 50, which was actually unconstitutional in violation of three sections of our state constitution. It was mid-cycle redistricting and upended the independent redistricting commission that we had voted in earlier. However, we did it anyway, not we, I, but Californians did it anyway. And now it stands with a DOJ challenge because there is clear evidence that said they racial gerrymandering at least one district, basically saying that we are doing this to benefit, you know, Latino voters in this one district. And so they've challenged the entirety of Prop 50, whether or not just that district alone is challenged or the Supreme Court wipes out all of Prop 50, I'm not sure, but it does have, we do have a challenge to it. What happens to it, I'm not sure.
Katie, Donald Trump was, as you mentioned, he gave a speech yesterday. It was outstanding, but he talked about things like health care. He talked about things like voter ID. We have to pass this. We have to pass that. And he's, of course, correct about all these things, but having to do something and having the power to do something are two different things. We have a bunch of loser Republicans in the House and the Senate. Not all of them, but a bunch of them. Enough of them to screw these things up. Can we even pass something as basic as voter ID with weapons-grade dorks in the Senate?
Jesse, you nail on the head. I was reading a report that said we've passed less legislation than Republicans. Our slim majority of Republicans have passed less since 1989 than any other administration. While we have this narrow window with the president just, you know, basically obliterating everyone in his path by getting stuff done on behalf of the American people, we have this House that is lackadaisically just barely passing basic. I mean, yes, they passed the one big beautiful bill, but what else have they done? So President Trump said, and I sound like a broken record, but it's the only thing that needs to be done in the Senate. The only thing, if they don't do anything else, this is what needs to be done. He talked about, he said it should be renamed the Save America Act. But what sits right now in the Senate is the SAVE Act, which was sponsored by Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, and it requires voter ID, proof of citizenship, in order to vote in federal elections. Now, this isn't upending statewide elections. This is strictly for presidential and congressional races. And President Trump is correct. As we turn the corner into this 250-year mark and the anniversary of our country, since 1776, if that Senate does not pass voter ID, we lose the republic. We might not lose it overnight, but if we are not regulating the fact that it has to be citizens that go vote in our elections, we will not be able to keep control of the republic. There is no greater piece of legislation. So what does Senator Thune have to do, Jesse? He has to get rid of the filibuster. And I know there is the back and forth of, okay, if we get rid of the filibuster, then they'll get rid of it on us and we don't want to do that. If the Democrats do not want to side with the Republicans and they cannot gain enough votes to pass that SAVE Act, then you have to nuke the filibuster because there is no other piece of legislation that is more important for the United States than voter ID and proof of citizenship, as President Trump said yesterday.
Katie, Donald Trump said, among other things, that the Democrats are going to impeach him if they take the House in the midterms. I think everybody with an IQ above a frog knows that that is true. But explain this to me. Why should that concern me? It's not that I want him impeached, but he's been impeached twice. The Senate's not going to remove him. The House, as you already mentioned several times, isn't passing legislation anyway. I know it's a pain. It's not ideal, but is this something I should lay awake at night staring at the ceiling in mortal fear about?
The Senate is much safer, as we've talked about. The House has that razor-thin majority. It's high likelihood that if we do not aggressively go after it, we lose the House, and then Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker, and yes, they impeach him, or they try to impeach him to the best of their abilities. Do you lay awake at night? What is problematic to me is it takes away from President Trump being able to get stuff done, and I use that word very liberally. He is going to be tied up by the House because they would rather, and we know this, we know that Hakeem Jeffries and the radical Dems in the House would rather tie President Trump's hands and feet in and try to impeach him than allow him to be successful for the American people, because then that will give them the chance at getting power again in 28. So it will essentially stonewall him from getting anything done, and then allow the Democrats to gain this momentum for the 28 presidential. And so I look at the 26 midterms, and people, we can debate on this, but I look at the 26 midterms as an on-ramp or off-ramp for the 28 presidential. If we are able to keep the House and continue delivering for the American people, look at what President Trump just did today. He's banning corporations, large corporations, from being able to do home purchases. This is basic tenet of American prosperity, for Americans to then now be able to buy homes again because they're not competing with corporations. If the Democrats have him tied up in impeachment inquiries and impeachment processes, he's going to be distracted, and they know this, with having to fight them off and battle them off. So we want to keep the House so he can deliver us an entire 4 years of prosperity and not try to be get him stonewalled by the Democrats, Jesse.
Katie, Gavin Newsom, that slimy lizard person, is obviously running for president. He's been running for president for years. And he's still possibly, hopefully, catching heat about all this Palisades fire stuff where the money just seemed to disappear like a fart in the wind. Is this going to haunt him?
If we do a good job at reminding the American people of the failure of leadership, this isn't just incompetence. President Trump has been kind of generous to Gavin Newsom. This is criminal negligence. Our 117 million gallon reservoir in the Pacific Palisades sat empty, and the mayor of LA was in Ghana ahead of a 5-day warning of one of the biggest windstorms in California's history. And that happens almost, you know, we get these Santa Ana winds every year. There was enough warning to get all of the right people and resources in place, and yet they sat idle. And so Gavin Newsom, and not only ahead of time, President Trump warned Gavin Newsom during the Paradise, California fires. If you don't fill your reservoirs, if you don't deforest, if you don't do brush clearance, you're going to have massive fires on, you know, as your track record as California governor. And he didn't heed that warning in 2018. And then now we have the $250 billion worth of damage, the largest wildfire damage in U.S. history. And to date, not one single home, Jesse, not one single home has been rebuilt. This is a year ago today. They have done almost nothing. And he likes to say, he just said in an interview either yesterday or the day before, oh, we really did all of the debris clearance, okay? We had the FEMA clearing. We had the guard clearing everything. No, that is all federal government that cleared it. What he's responsible for and what Karen Bass is responsible for are issuing these permits, cutting the red tape, and ensuring that homeowners can get back to their homes. But 80% of the people that have been displaced don't even have approval to begin rebuilding. And it is just, it's criminal. And these homes all sit with for sale signs, Jesse, in the Palisades, all along Malibu, because the people cannot sit on a lot, pay their mortgage, pay their insurance, and not live there, and also pay rent in a home. And the insurance is such a scandal and scam that they are not covering a lot of this. So that is just one area. I mean, the fraud that's being uncovered, the homelessness, the welfare, you know, Ro Khanna alluded to $72 billion worth of fraud. I mean, I think it has to be at least double that once they start blowing this open, Jesse. And so Gavin Newsom should not accelerate. He should be wiped out like Tim Walz.
$72 billion in fraud. Katie, appreciate you. Come back soon. Yeah. Lee. $72 billion. She thinks it's more. Lighten the mood. Next. Democrats, so many of them, they're just theater kids who grew up. We all knew the theater kids. And this is why they're able to do so many things. And you look at it and you almost wince a little bit, don't you? Kind of cringe. And you think to yourself, oh gosh, I don't think I could do that. Yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of January 6th. And this is what Democrats did.
Guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
I'll see you tomorrow.